And we're podcasting from Chico, California, and home of the world's largest functional yo-yo. This is Cinema Stash Rehash Movie Podcast with Jason, Wyatt, and Chris. We talk about 80s and 90s movies and provide insights about them you didn't know you needed or wanted. So sit back, relax, and join us. We're just about ready to get started.
Your name's Jack Death?
That's a dumb name.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Cinema Stash Rehash. Thanks for joining us today. We've got a kind of an interesting one that we chose to do this time. This is going to be one of the first films we've all have never seen this one before.
Correct.
This one has slipped through the cracks. And
not even seen, not heard of.
That's true.
Did not know existed.
Yeah. The movie is Trancers, and with me tonight is Wyatt Campbell.
Hello.
And Chris Middling.
Fucking squid.
Fucking squid. But this movie, I swear, this one was recommended to me by an Instagram follower. And, we have very similar tastes in movies, this guy here. I think his name is Grant, so shout out to you. And he's all the way over in England, or right. Britain, I'll say. And anyway, so, yeah, we just started chatting it up, and he sent me this fucking poster about the cover, and he was like, you got to watch this movie. It's 80s, beyond 80s, and fuck, it's beyond 80s.
I mean, can anybody get away with not wearing shoulder pads in the future? It kind of seems like that's part of the deal.
Shit. But let's put it in perspective, though. Trancers is a B movie for the 80s.
Yeah.
So, sure. I mean, right now we watch these movies, and these movies that we're watching now are considered B movies to most people because, I mean, they're so dated in a sense, most of
right.
them.
Right. This was straight to VHS.
This had a small theatrical release.
Did it?
Yes. And I think it was a very small theater yeah. count, of course, obviously. But
well, the budget.
Well,
estimated 400,000.
That's all it was.
Yeah.
That's funny because I couldn't
find it.
It's
like they don't even know. And they're like, well, I guess this actor was worth this. And this, they made this. $400,000 in 84. I wonder what the budget for Terminator
all the homeless
was.
People were actually homeless.
By the way, a lot of screen time for the homeless in this. Like, I mean, it's like they had to they had to get that 79th minute somehow. Yes, so let's show bums playing baseball with a glass bottle.
Willie, you're swaying into the strike zone, man. Stop swaying in a...
And show it for like a full 5 minutes.
Oh my God.
A good quarter of this movie is homeless people.
Oh shit. So this movie is directed by Charles Brand, and the whole premise of the movie is, you know, is first off, the main character's name is Jack Death.
Jack Death.
Jack Death.
He's
drop
tired.
The egg.
Real tired.
It's July now, and I'm tired. Real tired.
I love the intro, man. It's just like it paints a picture like that. You're kind of like, wow, this is intriguing. Like, was this a book at some point?
And then right.
You quickly realize that no, that's about as elaborate as it gets, right there. You know, like from there on, prepare to be disappointed for any sort of like, you know, details,
dude.
Like at that point, they're like, that's the plot. From here out, it's just going to be like thin material. But it's going to be fun. So strap in.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
But so I just felt the first part of the movie, you stared at a neon light and words for about a minute and a half. Yeah. And I'm like, there was a time, and I was baked when I watched this too. And it's like, there was a point where I'm sitting here going, I checked my phone as I'm watching the credits to this thing with that yeah. neon light.
Oh.
And, you know, I'm like, fuck, this is long. And anyway, and going into it, you know, like I said, the premise of this fucking movie is basically another time travel movie. He's after the killer or
Whistler.
His nemesis Whistler yeah. who can somehow trance people with yeah. his psychic abilities into somehow zombies form, but they act normally at first, but when they're triggered, boy, do they just have makeup on.
Yeah, they get all white and pasty.
All Thriller and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I mean, it's so... And so his whole mission is that he's been wiping them up. He's been trying to wipe them out up at his time, which is 22... like 47 or something like
22
that.
22 shoulder pads. Yeah. Shoulder pads and wet hair. Hey, that's the future, baby. Wet hair and shoulder pads.
And shitty cars.
Yeah.
Oversized coats.
It looks like a fucking chimpanzee.
I love it. So when Jack Death gets sent back to 1985, because, you know, they wanted to, like, you know, make people worried when 84 was released. They're like, well, could this happen in 85?
We better do this because it could be the future.
Yeah. But he gets sent back, and I love it how he, like, you know, when he's putting his clothes on, he's like, I need this trench coat, and I'm going to, like, cinch it really fucking tight.
It's like fucking Columbo. Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't, like, grab some, like, shit to put up in the shoulders. Like,
dude, I know.
These shoulders are too weak.
And you see fucking Huddle and Hunt, tits to the world.
Yeah.
But I was disappointed that I didn't get my boob shot, but she had no problems putting her clothes on with her boobs right at the window. Mm. Broad daylight. Yeah. Awesome. And I thought that shit, they were in, like, some sort of relationship when she shows up. And you're like, oh, they're in a relationship. He took over the body of his ancestor, and they're in a relationship, so this is going to be weird.
Yeah.
But no, she's just a floozy, one-night stand, who obviously is gullible, because what was that fucking line that she said?
Phil, is it true? Did you mean what you said last night?
Is making love to me like the ethereal union of two lost souls?
Holy shit.
Dude, this guy's got lines, man.
Yeah.
Phil, come on. You said that making love to me was like the ethereal union of two lost souls?
He's got some lines.
He must, because, I mean, let's face it. He is a, what, like, conservatively 45-year-old man,
right,
that is, like, taking a 21-year-old woman
punk
back,
rocker,
yeah, with a, I mean maybe she has some sort of, like, issues, like, maybe she likes older men, but still, it's like, it's
where did you meet?
Yeah.
Where would you have met her?
I don't know, probably, like, I mean, she had her Santa suit on. That's what she, like, that's what she wore. Yeah. Like she's like, I got to go to work. I'm putting on my Santa outfit. It's like, okay, so what happened the night before? I mean, where are we talking about? Like, because, I mean, where are they, at her place or his place?
His place.
So, okay. So she was wearing the Santa suit.
Fuck.
So she went into a bar probably after.
Right after, right?
Getting off.
Dealing with all those bitchy kids.
Yeah. And then went home with that dude, and, like, she's going to go all, you know, walk of shame back to work in her fucking Santa suit.
With blue hair.
Yeah.
And he has, like, a dresser full of pictures of other girls.
Of bitches that he's been banging. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what I thought it was.
So he's on the regular now.
But hold on. Before we go much further, we need to talk about the first transfer that.
So the diner scene.
The diner scene. I mean, I love how the future, first off, is basically 1950s reincarnate.
With shoulder pads.
But, you know, he goes into that thing and he's like, you know, just randomly walking up to citizens and saying, I need to check. Make sure you're not a transfer. And that fucking, the waitress turns into a fucking zombie and shit and bounces over that counter and that dance music starts.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait. Are we going to have a dance fight?
Yeah.
She's a transfer, goddammit, help me!
Because that's where that should have went. And I can't get over the fucking soundtrack to this movie.
Yeah.
This soundtrack is probably one of the worst I've heard. But also, I was totally into it regardless of...
Oh, I was so into it.
The whole scene is like, this is terrible music, but I'm loving it because I've got a grin from ear to ear right now.
Yeah.
Because just how terribly awesome it kind of is. And what I don't get about the transfers is this. It's like when he zaps him with the gun, or it doesn't matter if he's in 1985 or 19 or 20, whatever the fuck, they disappear.
Yeah.
Like when they die, they disappear. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what confuses me.
Well, I
think
that's
why that is.
Yeah, like it just reminds me of, like, two other movies that we've seen that deal with this kind of, like, what are we dealing with here? Is, like, They Live and Life Force.
Life Force,
especially. Like when everybody's zombieing out in that movie, I'm like, wow, it's confusing. It's like, what are we dealing with here? You know, I mean, they disappear. What does that mean? Like he hypnotizes them into turning into a red light.
But that's the thing. It's like, so I'm thinking, like, so does he, when he trances these people, the only thing that makes sense is that, like, that's like a digital imprint of themselves or some shit.
The only thing that makes sense is that it was a thin fucking
script.
And they're like, what's a cool way to make the, like, people die? You know, like, we can't just have them just like, yeah, let's make them dissolve.
The script was like 20 pages, you know.
Yeah. Where can we do this?
A lot of filler.
Just go with this. Yeah. But no, I mean, I, I just doesn't want. I mean, there's other confusing plot holes, of course, but I mean, I don't understand why they just kind of just faded in red. And if they just had $10,000 extra worth of budget, I mean, a lot of these effects, I mean, they're driving in those cars, and I swear to God, if they took a bumper or they took a corner wrong, a bumper would fly off.
Oh, yeah.
Or a fucking, you know, fender and shit.
Yeah. So the future cars.
The future cars. Yeah. They just look like cardboard.
Yeah. They're just like juggling around, you know, you're like, wow, that shit's going to drop off.
Though his car was pretty sweet, though.
It was. I mean,
it was like a chromed out, you know. I don't know what.
I mean,
what
they open with that because it is cool looking, and then like, I mean, you don't see much of it after that, and you know.
When it pulled up, I thought it had like this fat, like you know, spirally like drag racing exhaust going to it, but I was disappointed it wasn't the case.
It was just junk.
But anyway, so I wanted to talk about the transfers real quick because then the next scene was where we were going to with the Santa scene.
Yeah.
Well, first off, that kid like had my entire Christmas list. That I had back in the 80s, dude.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, hungry, hungry hippo. I want a Decepticon.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. That is my Christmas list back then for sure, because no shit.
Mr. Potato Head, hungry, hungry hippo. It's John Doe the Mandroid. A Transformer the Decepticon.
But that Santa scene was god-awful.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah.
The fight was awful. It was horrendous. I mean, at least back in the diner scene, it was way more.
It seemed like, at the very least, the kids were entertained by the fight. Like, they were just standing there on the sidelines, kind of like,
fuck yeah.
Yeah, they're like, whoa, yeah.
Mommy, he shot Santa. It's just like.
I was very uncomfortable with how close the shot got to Santa's face.
Yeah, it was.
I was like, did like five different takes on his face.
Yeah, and
fuck.
It was, I agree. Like, I was kind of like, seen enough of that guy.
Yeah, like black teeth and shit.
Yeah. Like, he falls on top of him. It's just like a clumsy ass fight. I mean, he falls on top of him, and then what does he do? He sticks his fingers in his mouth and rips him off.
Yeah.
And it's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. His voice turns into like a burping panther or something.
Security, we've got trouble at the North Pole.
I thought that was literally like a fight that was clearly not choreographed at all. It's just like, okay, let's just roll it and see what happens. And like, that's what they came up with. And they're like, we don't have the budget to reshoot this shit.
So Jack is like held to by plastic antlers. He's held to like the wall.
Exactly.
He's like, oh fuck, I can't.
Yeah.
He's like obviously holding it up to his chest.
You know,
he can't fit his chest.
The actual plot, I mean, I do enjoy the idea of the movie, though. I mean, the movie is basically, you know, like for their time travel is they have to take some sort of medication or like this injection.
It's kind of
on a table and they send their mind back into an ancestor.
That whole part of the movie,
I
agree.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. And those are some details that you got to give credit to, because it's like, that's cool. But then they like don't really set anything up for a good crescendo, you know?
Right. That's when it starts getting thin, because like the big fucking weird thing that throws my mind is that, okay, so the whole idea that he needs to go back and get Whistler, and there he is in the fucking other room.
Yeah.
On a table. I'm like, there he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who cares? But the whole thing is they want him to stand trial, and then Jack's like, fuck that shit, and just blows him up right there.
Yeah.
You're our only hope, and it's on my terms.
So, but we want him to come back to stand trial. So now the whole movie, he still has to go after him, but he's got no body to come back to.
Yeah.
So there's going to be no trial now. It's just like if he sends him back, his brain is going to be out there, nowhere, wherever the fuck.
Yeah.
And like, they just brush it away. Like, no big deal. First off, they're pissed. They're like, what have you done? And they're like, because they're really more interested in them saving their asses, because he's got to go back and protect their ancestors, because his idea, he wants to take control of, I guess, this the city, which is funny to me because
Lost.
Why is this the city?
Lost, you know? Angeles. We need to talk about Lost Angeles too. I forgot about that.
But yeah, I mean, that's so, I just like how they cast the side away that we want him to come back and stand trial. But really, the main thing is they just want him to go back and protect their asses so they don't die.
Yeah,
but
which makes sense. It's like, you know, they're council member. Like, what are they? Yeah. The council of what? You know, and it's like
Angel City.
Yeah, Angel City. That's right.
Which is apparently there's only one city, because, like I said, I mean, he doesn't want to control the world. It's just the city.
I like how, you know, Jack Death, he's just like, fuck this shit. I'm fucking done. I'm gonna go and treasure hunt in Los Angeles, and you know,
with the awesome backdrop city.
Yeah. I don't understand, like, the whole just, like walking into the ocean to go look for, like, what happened to boats? Do they not have boats
they
in the
have
future?
No technology. In
they
the future,
do,
apparently.
They have, look at the, I mean, like, at the cars, it's like, I'm like, okay, so where's his boat to go, like, maybe 100 yards, 200
fortunately,
yards?
A cop salary was just, is like, about that the was, same in the future.
That was just such a clumsy scene where he's, like, you know, walks back in and, like, dives into the waves, and it's like, what is he going to fucking find in there? You know, like,
yeah,
that's
know,
just
right?
sand and shit. I don't
he's,
know.
What is he bringing up? He's bringing up license
he brought
plates
up
from Colorado. Or hubcaps
it was,
and license
it was
plate,
like the, like, it was like the movie's way of, like, telling a little story without words, you know? Like, they're yeah, like, and, hubcap, hubcap. Oh. Sunset Boulevard. Ooh, okay, so this is a dystopian future where LA is now under the sea. Yeah. I get it. I get it. It's like
shit happened.
Yeah. And then he was like, I'm gonna go check out the Chinese theater. It's like, we get it. Fucking LA's under the water. You don't need to, like, keep LA's huge though. It's like, why are you right there? Are you saying, like, that behind you there's tons of more LA that survive? Because that's not what it looks like.
There's a hell of a lot more memorabilia to find.
Yeah.
But yeah, that fucking scene. But that's when they introduced, well, yeah, they introduced McNulty, which is his superior technically in the cop
yeah.
world in the future then. But
yeah, you're talking about the guy that plays
yeah, his name is Art LaFleur.
LaFleur.
That's McNulty.
Yeah.
Yes. And we actually did podcasted, actually all three of us podcasted a movie with him in it just recently.
What was it?
The Blob.
The Blob.
He was the pharmacist.
That's right.
In that movie.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we've seen him before. He's been a lot of other things. But, I mean, he was a guy that I knew right away. And then,
ribbed.
And then, yeah, exactly.
Daddy, I'd like you to meet my friend Paul.
Rib.
But then the other guy was Richard Hurd that I knew. And he was the other chairman guy. And he's been in a lot of other shit, you know. But, like, the one that is most notable for me is my other sci-fi 80s thing was from V.
That's,
he was another
yes.
actor from V.
Totally.
But, yeah, so L.A. obviously is underwater from the Great Quake.
Yeah.
And I guess that leveled the world or some shit. And there's one city now. But
Angel City.
So he blows up the dude on the table, and, like, that's that. And they give him the injection. But they introduce the second watch.
Yeah.
And the 1 second watch was the most hilarious thing about this movie to me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for
and
sure.
It was so absurd.
If you depress this knob, you'll gain a long second.
What?
1 second stretched to 10 for the person holding the device.
But a cool idea, but just they obviously didn't have the budget to pull it off well, you know?
No, yeah. Like, I was like, how are we going to do this?
Turn 10 seconds into 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, that's exactly what it was. Like, the first 10 seconds was 90 seconds.
It was. Apparently. It was the first one was the absurd one because you see, like, the bullet fly by her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, so that was, like, a solid 3 seconds right there.
Yeah.
Is he just going to, like, dive into her and save her life? No. He swoops her up.
I love how he's moving slow, too.
Yeah.
He's not moving normal.
No,
dude. He's looking around.
It's totally mind-numbing, like, how they approach this. They're like, it was a clusterfuck.
It was
it really was. That's hilarious. A perfect word for it.
Yeah. But, like, my thing was, like, okay, it takes you 1 second to walk right up to him and go,
yeah.
And then just, you still have her on your back.
She's like, why didn't you kill him? Because I had to save you.
When you used that time freezer thing, why didn't you get Whistler right then?
I only had a few seconds. If I'd have singed him, I couldn't have saved you.
And, like, all the while, it's like, of course he's just, like, he's jonesing to get his dick wet. Like, when he misses out on that, he's so butthurt. Like,
oh,
he's just
big
like,
time.
He never hope you enjoyed it, Phil.
Fucking McNulty. But, I mean, that's, like, that scene bugged the shit out of me. But, like I said, I mean, I still appreciated where they were trying to go.
Yeah,
and
the idea
was a cool idea, like a bitchin' idea. Like, that's a James Bond idea.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's fucking badass, really. But, like I said, poorly, you know.
Poorly executed.
Exactly. Poorly executed to the max. And you're just
like,
fuck. But I love that as they're driving away after that mall scene or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, just moving the wheel like they're going. Like, I could not help myself.
I saw that too.
I was
like,
dying, dude.
Because they're so clearly on the back of a truck like they
do
in movies.
Exactly, dude. Yes. They're like way up high.
And he's just like Tom Thomason. We haven't talked about
Tom Thomason who plays Jack Death.
So Tom Thomerson is like, he is a hell of a hand actor, apparently. Like, I was like, does he even know he's doing this? I mean, they must have had more than one take. And it's like, was the director at all like, Tom, stop moving your fucking hands.
Like fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And there's a moment.
Is this
where
how you
looks...
drive? And is this how you drive normally, Tom? Yeah. Is this what you do? Yeah. Is this you're just swerving all over the place?
He probably lives in New York City, and he hasn't driven in 40 years.
Like that. I'm so glad you brought that up, man. I forgot about that. Yeah, shit.
No. But that shit was ridiculous. And two, because I don't even think he looked at the road for more than like a second in that whole scene. The whole time he's like staring at her while like.
What it reminded me of is like, there's a game show where they do a game like that where somebody sits in a steering wheel and it's like there's a screen behind him.
Is that a Hollywood Game Night?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, it just reminded me like he was playing that. He was just like, you know, like moving the wheel around, like talking to her. But it was charming because it was like a $400,000 budget. You're like, oh, okay, I get it.
You know, yeah, they had that extra $5,000.
Yeah. Like, Tom, we've only got one take to do this. One take.
I think the whole movie was one take.
Yeah, there was no scene do-overs.
Helen Hunt, though, you know, I was surprised to see that she's actually in the sequel, which means they must have had fun making this movie.
Well, yeah, she's in the sequel, and actually,
which, by the way,
weird part,
she's not in 3, 4, 5, or 6 though, just 2.
Well, not necessarily. So hold on, there's one other thing. They did a short in 1988 that prequeled the second one.
Oh yeah,
it was a 24-minuter.
Nothing justifies.
Yeah, and I think the second one came out in like 90 or 89 or I don't know.
Yeah, I was like,
but I think it prequeled because it was basically like, you know, he's enjoying his new life with his new wife Lena, and this assassin comes back into time to kill him or some shit like that. You know?
Mm.
And I think that prequeled. I think I could be fucking wrong, so you might have to collaborate or you know, tell me if I'm bullshitting or not. But that's how I perceived it. And then obviously we've never seen any of these, so
yeah.
And that prequeled the second one, I think. But yeah, I mean, and then what I love is like you get to like 4, and it's like, you know, Jack of Swords, and you're like, wait, what the fuck? And then the other one, yeah, what was like the fifth?
I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Holy shit, Jack of Swords.
Yeah, and what's the other one? It's like,
well, I'm getting on it. This is interesting.
Is every sequel an hour long?
Yeah, this is like the shortest movie I've ever watched in my life. Actually, it was only what, an hour and 17 minutes. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It's a fucking Game of Thrones episode.
So,
dude.
So I think there's Trancers City of Lost Angels. And that's not Trancers 2. It's only 24 minutes, but it was in 88, and Helen Hunt is in that one. So I think you're right.
And the other one that I was thinking of was Sudden Death.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not forget the new sequels, Jack of All Trades and Death Becomes Him.
Wait, so it's Jack of All Trades?
No, I'm just fucking with you. Oh, okay. Those are my own made-up titles.
What was that other one called? Jack what? Jack... It's so fucking crazy.
The original, the actual titles were Jack of, I'm going to say mine own now, Jack of Swords, and then...
Jack of Swords.
Yeah, that's really it.
Oh, and it's then, a card, I get. Wait, no, it isn't. That's no, not a fucking
I
card.
Don't know.
Jack
and
of
then,
Swords.
And then
that's
death,
the best title.
And then Death, and then Sudden Death is like 4. But anyway, so the titles get pretty awesome after the third one, obviously. But no, Helen Hunt has come back for the second. She comes back for that one little short, and then she's credited in the third one. So I'm assuming it's like maybe like memory shots or something like that, or maybe she does a small ass cameo or something
was,
like that.
I thought she was just in. Oh, and you mean the third one?
In the third one, oh, yeah. Third she's one. Credited, oh, but like way back there. Like, you know, really? Like you look at the cast, she's like way down. Yeah.
Maybe
so she's
like
not
voice
a lead.
Acting.
Flashbacks.
I don't know, but so I gotta understand what this movie is. So it's like, is this B movie made in the 80s? So there's some shit to appreciate for sure, but there's some shit that definitely that is over the top ridiculous.
Yeah,
that they can't quite.
Like the
harness and, you know,
into like the loft that she takes into. Like, she's like, my friend's got a place, and they go in and it's like, what the fuck? Like who lives there?
I know.
Who lives in that little weird place that's above a nightclub and has like neon like stripes all over the place?
It looks like it was once upon a time like an old billiards place or something like that, because it made no sense.
That makes more sense.
That it was
an old billiards place.
It makes sense because right downstairs is a club. And so she's like, let's go have fun.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be maintaining the wire, you know, and listening for transmissions and shit. And so they go down to this club.
Oh my God.
The club scene.
The fucking Christmas club. Song.
Dude, that club.
Jingle bells.
Jingle bells. Jingle bells.
And it was not lining up.
Jingle bells. Jingle bells. Jingle bells.
like everything that was like you were hearing was not lining up with what was going on the stage. No,
that club scene was hilarious, dude. It was the worst music I'd probably ever heard, and I've never seen that many people get so down to really shitty music.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
But you know, and then so we meet that, like, obviously maybe he was an old boyfriend or some shit.
Oh yeah,
like
I think that was definitely the case.
You know, and I swear they must have put some budget into that spit that he spat on his face, because I saw like a lug involved. I mean, there was some substance involved, or he actually, it was a real scene, and he's like, now I'm really pissed because he fucking really spat.
I'm surprised he didn't use it for hair gel.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So it was right there.
Thanks, Squid.
Oh, my shit. But the next thing, when there's this, like, the three transfers or just three buddies, like, I don't know, that he like punches out.
It was just like
a way better fight, even though he didn't hit really any of them because his hand was way far away, but it was choreographed pretty good.
Yeah.
I think all the budget actually went into all the hairspray that everyone fucking used in that club.
Yeah. Dude. Well, and just like
fucking shit.
I mean, probably the band too.
Oh yeah.
That band, dude.
They had to pay the band $100,000.
I like how it's like clearly like, there was some moshing going on, so it's like people were bumping around.
There was something going on, that's for sure.
And then, you know, he knocks those three guys out, and then there's just people who were just dancing around him, and he like turns around and threatens them, like, you know, and they were just kind of like, I was like, dude, mellow out, bro. Just because they look like them doesn't mean they want to fight you. Like, he was like, you got a mohawk. He pointed his gun at him.
Well, he does that multiple times in the movie to where like he's beating somebody up, and he goes, just try me. Don't piss me back off.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, he's always pointing. He's either his finger or a gun or some shit. Yeah, so he's like, just try me. I'm Jack Death.
Yeah. I love his dance. His like turtle dance. He's like,
That's my dance, dude. I honestly, God, if I can dance like that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, he totally went in there and white guyed his way.
All he needed was the overbite, dude. Yeah. That's all he didn't do that. So, and that's what I would have done differently. I definitely am the overbite guy.
Yeah. I don't want us to miss the sunbathing scene.
Place. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's actually after. That's right after the bad Santa.
The tanning salon.
Because that's actually okay. That's a good plot point, because the thin plot point that we have to work with here. But
what the fuck happened? She like
one of the ancestors.
Okay,
that guy was one of the ancestors.
The tanning salon.
Yes, attendant? I think he was.
Was he the missing chair?
I think he was like. What's that?
Was he the missing chair?
No. He had died before he went back in time. Oh, so he was the dude, chairman. That was his ancestor. So he was a surfer dude.
And that's why he turned into the girl.
And well, no, that's why he just dissolved.
Oh, fuck.
No, and that's the other plot point that it's funny about that is because, so this is a big thing about this movie is that they describe when they disappear, if you kill the ancestor, so anybody in the future will cease to exist.
Yeah.
But then they still have knowledge of said existence. Which is weird because, like, if you think about it,
yeah, like
you can even think it's stone-like. It's fine. It still makes sense because when you die in the past or whatever, and you kill the ancestor, so your lineage is gone now. So potentially, the memory of you should cease to exist in all people, which means they had never met him, or never anything else. But they always acknowledge the fact that
they didn't have the budget for that. Jason.
I know there was no good. Yeah, the writing
couldn't fit that in the script.
Yeah, right?
Like in the editing, they're like, we fucking ran out of whiteout. We can't edit this out.
Yeah. It's been shot. It's in it.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah. So anyway, the tanning booth scene, and he's like just bouncing around and like burning himself in it.
Yeah. Like on the, burns like himself on the door.
Yes. Not his hands.
No,
but just his, like his one shoulder.
Yeah. And then, well, it's funny too. Cause it's like when she lets him out, finally, it's like, he's leaning up against that door. And I'm like, why isn't he just totally like that? You know, he burned himself on that door.
Yeah, he should be like bubbling.
He should just be cooked. He should be tan. He wasn't even tan.
Oh no, but they covered that plot point right then when he says, "How's my tan?"
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he falls to the ground and goes, "Ugh."
How's my tan?
Are you okay?
He didn't look any tanner than he was before.
None whatsoever. That was improv.
The dude should have been boiling. Yeah,
he probably turned to the camera. He's like, "Nailed it."
It's like, I made that up. I did that.
Tom Thomerson.
It's like, I should have written the script.
Oh, shit.
But anyway, leading up to that, like, I was kind of like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't understand why she drove away. And then she explained, she's like, I realized it. Or what did she think?
It was
like,
all the shit that he said about the Santa.
That's right.
It was, yeah. And like, that wasn't enough for me.
I realized you were right about him.
That's not enough for me. You're still fucking crazy.
All the while, like, I was thinking, I was like, you know, it would have been a lot, like, easier if she just said, like, I was still in that like Santa suit after we had sex. I really needed a shower, so that's like why I took off.
Right.
And came back. But instead it was like, no, I drove away, and then I started thinking about it. I was like, you know what? You're right. You're right about that guy. Like, he wasn't a zombie all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, there was maybe a few times where he sexually harassed me.
But he's never tried to eat anybody.
Yeah.
It's like,
and he was kind of trying to eat him, it seemed like.
What was the transfer that actually physically bit? Oh, that was the waitress.
Yeah.
That's right, because I was trying to see things. They are zombies. You know, because she was trying to eat his ass in the fucking diner. So that's
like the last time you see that. Because then when the cop is like, when he's tranced out,
he was the most like,
and he's like
not tranced, still
cognitive.
Yeah, exactly.
And pointing a gun at him, like, and that was weird. Because I was like, how many times has he said that? Like, look at yourself. Like, he needs to carry a mirror around. That's what he should do. He should be like, look at yourself. You're not you. You're in a trance, bro.
We need to bring up the McNulty cock blocking scene. Mm. So it's right after the fucking punk rock band, and he comes up in there,
and she's all turned on because he like big time. You know,
just socked a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, he just threatened a bunch of punks and kicked the shit out of a few. All of her people too. Like, she's like, I can never go back there.
Those are all my friends. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah.
But anyway. Phil got his dick wet instead of old
Jack. Dude, what
Jack.
Is up with that? You come to and you're like, oh shit. And you just start fucking just banging some broad all of a sudden. But even though
McNulty took him back, and you know, I mean, yeah, Phil probably, you know, who knows what that's. Hey, what happened to Phil?
Phil is on backup.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he's the backup.
Is he in the cloud or something?
He is in the cloud, dude. Yeah, that's what he said. He's all Phil's on hold, basically, right?
Phil's conscious is just sitting up in fucking nowhere, like going like doo 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 doo.
Just watching everything happen, and then he comes back for sex. He's like, fuck yeah, I could do this all day. I'm not really doing any of this, and I come back and bang the bitches.
He gets back to the infinity, and they're like, what happened? He's like, I came, and then I went, and now I'm here.
So what'd you do? I fucked.
Yeah.
That's all. Now I'm back. that's amazing. But then it's fucking hilarious because, you know, McNulty shows up as like this 8-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's like, I guess the only ancestor in this worst because I had to sneak by the parents. And so that's like really, because she believes him already, but like that like solidified it, you know. Sure. There's no way you can, because he speaks the same lingo. I'm in this ancestor. And so that's okay. Now I'm okay that I'm about to have sex with this guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, really, I'm going to fuck this guy now. Before of like, when she's like, did I give you my number? You know, so she's still on the leery fence.
You want the future come.
she wants his baby, man.
Oh, shit.
Like, she, at that point, when he saved her from the punks, she was like all in.
Oh, and so was he. He's like, you love me.
You love me.
Yeah. Like, I just met you yesterday.
Yeah.
He's like, I pointed a gun at your face yesterday.
But fucking McNulty cock blocks him. Mm. And for some reason, he gets it. He's like all bent about it, which I would be too.
Well, Phil, I hope you enjoyed yourself again.
It's like you've been pining after basically the whole time. And then fucking Phil takes the credit.
What's the evil detective's name? Whistler?
Whistler.
Yeah.
Can we talk about his voice? He's like from a Tolkien thing, you know? He's like, fire. He's like a fucking sorcerer.
For 12 long years, you have hunted my disciples like dogs.
It was as if the director was just like, okay, so, I mean, because he's human. Whistler is a human being.
Has some sort of psychic ability. That's all he is.
So he's, it's just, you know, like they don't really get into that enough. No. I feel like they're just, because I mean, to me, at first I thought like Whistler had just, you know, was controlling the cop named Whistler and like wasn't, you know, actually possessing his body.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like I thought he was going to be like somewhere a little bit more impressive than that, you know, like, or less vulnerable.
Yeah.
I guess
he's just guy. He's just a,
yeah. So, I mean,
lieutenant.
I kind of felt like, I mean, that whole thing like could have been so much more like more intense if it was explained better, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. So what I was going to say earlier, and I forgot, because this movie suffers from what I kind of call the Masters in Universe syndrome. For the reason is, I was way more intrigued.
Oh, you mean MUS, a little MUS?
Yes, a little MUS. We talked about how Master Universe suffered pretty good, for the reason is that they decided to go to Earth. Mm. And for me, we were way more all about what was going on in Eternia.
Yeah.
And I was the same way. I was way more intrigued with the movie
the future.
When it was in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, I dug the 50s. Good. I like the look.
Good call.
And then it goes to 1985 because, well,
yeah,
we ran out of budget. So
we're on a $400,000 budget. Yeah.
We have to go to where we can use the cars that we have. You know, we can't just drive around these cardboard vehicles. That's not going to work.
They're like, trust me, when there's no like rain and fog and darkness, it's going to look weird.
But I would have dug the shit out of this movie way more if they stayed in.
Yeah, because it had like
the future.
For sure. You know, going back to that opening scene, I'm sure you guys felt the same way. It's like right off the bat, you're thinking like, shit, this is some Blade Runner looking.
Right,
shit,
exactly. You know? I'm intrigued. I'm down with this, even with the potential.
And like their guns and stuff like that, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like when little squirt guns.
And their lame laser sound, but I was good with it. I liked it. You know, once that lame laser sound happened with that really bad music, I was like, I'm all in. This is I'm fine with all of this. This is great.
Yeah.
You know, because I appreciate that kind of shit. It is fucking fantastic. But then we decided to go to Earth, and it just kind of went.
Yeah, and then you get like a snub-nosed revolver with like two vials of, damn, one's broken.
But yeah, it's like, you know, that was where the movie, it was still, like I said, I still liked it. There was some shitty parts, terrible plot, but overall, I loved it. And then we're getting right back into his thing where, you know, he gets a Whistler. There, he's on top of the roof with Helen Hunt, and we get to use the Watch Minute again.
Yeah, and they did a little bit better on this one. Like,
but it was so bad.
It was like, so bad. It was like 60 seconds instead of 90 seconds.
The whole time, again, it pissed me off. He had a chance to kill his ass right there,
and he looks at him. I love like the long 5 seconds.
He's like, yeah, he walks up to him. He just goes, and it's super slow, and then he. Decides what he's at, but when he's ziplined down that random wire,
yeah,
he should have been moving. It was
not even a taut wire. It was like it had so much slack on it. Like it was
Ethernet cable.
but yeah, like that. Well, and that kind of skips over the whole scene where they're looking for who is it? Like the guy, the bum,
you know? The Hap Ashby. Hap Ashby,
all the homeless people.
Yeah, I forgot. We did. Well, that's where we're going back a little bit. Hap Ashby was his name. He was like apparently back in the school baseball player.
And like I mean, like I said earlier, like that. I mean, they were chewing up scenery. It was like, you know, it was one of those things where it was like, okay, this movie is still only coming in at like an hour, guys. We need to do something to make some.
We need 5 minutes of homeless baseball.
Yeah, that's what they said. So yeah, enter homeless baseball. And like, well, I mean, how many times do we got to see that guy stand there with the bat waiting for it, you know, fucking throws it?
Dude, I swear to God, they're all sitting like around him too.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you hit that, if he connects, that is a bad day for like every single person in that area.
Well, it's what they want.
Yeah.
What they want.
Yeah.
I think we got nothing else to live for. We might as well have glass in our face because that's what you're going to get.
Yeah, and I mean, I like how it's just all very like theatrical bums, you know, like just a bunch of like, guys dirty but you know like dirty in strategic ways, you know, like they're not they just don't look right. Like I mean, it was just so funny, like the whole thing that you got to sit there and look at it for like 5 minutes. It was like we're still watching the bums.
Yeah
Like okay, so yeah, what are they gonna do? Are they gonna throw the fucking bottle?
I was actually shocked when it was like I found out it was an actual bottle. It's like, fuck, they're hitting glass bottles.
And how anticlimactic that he misses it. It's like, okay,
I would have loved to see some bums just screaming in agony because of all that glass shards going in their face.
I mean, they could have easily have just, you know, like had that guy throwing bottles at a wall and being like, oh, he's the pitcher. You know, but no, we got to get organized bum baseball out.
Yeah. You know? From what Bumble. I gathered, too, that was the chick's ancestor. Instead of stick ball,
it was like lead pipe ball, too. It's like, he's like trying to hit it with a fucking pipe.
We need to talk about the three wise kings or whatever.
Oh, right. Guy. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. The bums. Yeah.
Yeah.
That scene, I was like, what the fuck am I watching?
Yeah, that guy.
Like, where did this come from?
And they had, like, speak in, like, old school lingo, like, yeah, way back in Fairy Tale Land and shit. It's like,
what ho, knave? Who brought this glorious angel that we three kings may gaze upon?
There is, like, we have this information. Yeah. Oh, no, we inquire in, or it was some, it was something fantasy fucking lingo, stupid, yeah.
And what are they?
But they were looking, like, for the Ashby character, mm-hmm, and they showed her the baseball card. But
did they have to pay them or something?
No, they gave him a, like, M&M's.
Oh, that's what
it was, like, peanut butter. That's what M&M's, it was, right? Or some shit. Yeah,
I was like, well, I don't even know what those are because there's no context. You know, like, he just hands them a handful of colorful shit, and it's,
yeah,
like,
and they were good with it. It's like, oh yeah, that's fine. That's candy.
Two for you. Three for
Two for you. And three for me.
But that Ashby guy was the female councilwoman's ancestor.
Was it?
Yeah, that was the councilwoman's ancestor.
Okay.
And so that you're expecting it to be some chick. I thought that's when the little girl came in. That was the ancestor.
Right.
But no.
So is that why, when he goes back and the councilman Ash is gone is because the tanning booth guy got killed?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Mm. Gotcha. So that's where that came from. So we come back to the whole situation again, and he's got the vial again, and he's fucked up, and so both of them can't go back. But it doesn't fucking matter anyway, because
if he sends him back, he's not gonna go back. He's dead, right?
So why don't you just shoot his ass instead of waste the? But subconsciously, he's in love with this new to be wife, Lena. So he doesn't really want to go back anyway.
He's trying to earn brownie points.
Oh yeah,
that's why he was actually banger. That's why he was so verbal about, like, opening it up, and he's like, "Damn, only one left."
Broken. Damn it.
Like, looking back, they're like, you know what that means, right?
I'm going to have some sex tonight. Yeah. Please, I need this.
Yeah.
When you fucking get Phil.
He's like, when you get back, tell him not to send me back because I'm seriously getting laid tonight.
Fucking Phil. Fucking Phil. Yeah, so, I mean, his mind, when he sends him back, technically he just died anyway because he's got a body to go back to.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay.
So you're just sending him up to the cloud. That's what happened.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. It's like,
he's up there with Phil.
They're just sharing. They're playing badminton.
He shows up and Phil's like, did you get laid too?
This is the laid cloud.
Yeah.
So that was something I was like, and then they just leave it at that. It's like, he walks off. They have their final little chat. You love me, kissy kissy, and then the movie's over. And there's like there was no final anything. It's just like, okay, so that was kind of pointless. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
saved the one councilwoman. They're all fucking dead, so they got to appoint all new ones anyway.
Yeah.
So I mean, it was like, okay, but hey, I will give this movie credit though, because I did enjoy this movie, even though how silly it was. It was still a pretty... I would be in fucking sane about this movie if I watched it when I was like 12.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This movie, if you're a 12-year-old and you grew up with this movie, I can definitely see some nostalgia there. And no matter what, you'd be like, yeah, this movie was pretty sweet. So with that respect, I enjoyed it. There were some really cool aspects to it. So I'm going to go ahead and rate it just because it's fun. I think it's only rated like a 6.1 on IMDb, but... My movie rating style is like, it's a 5 if I can get through it. I loved all the cheesy parts about it because it actually made me laugh, made me chuckle. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated what they were trying to do with a $400,000 fucking dollar budget. So hats off. It's not a 6.1 to me. I say it's at least a 6.3, almost a 6.5 because I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. So beat it to death or agree.
Go ahead, Chris.
Fuck. Yeah, it's probably like a 6.3. That sounds right, you know.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It was cool. The music was sometimes good.
Was mostly horrendous,
fucking trash. But yeah. You know, you got some bumball.
Bumball was a highlight.
Yeah. You know. I wonder who won.
They all did. They all did.
They did.
They all did because they lived. They didn't all die. That's right. So yeah, they lived.
So yeah, 6.3. I would probably wouldn't watch it again though. I would like to watch the sequels though.
I actually know that's what I would say. I actually am intrigued to see what they do in the next one for sure. So yeah, I may not watch this one again, but I do want to continue. I want to find out
what fucking 6 movies look like.
My god, right?
Yeah, seriously.
Well, this is what the funny part is. I did look this shit up on IMDb, and Trancers 3 had a $2 million budget.
Really?
Oh, shit. So you got to think that if this one only had a $400,000 one, it'll at least look like an 80s movie with a $2 million budget.
Totally.
How much did this one make?
You know, I don't know. There was very little info about as far as budget.
$101,000.
Yeah. Yeah. It probably made like half its budget back. Yeah.
It sold 2 half theaters.
But no, I would come somewhere in just like at like a 6. So yeah. not far off
from the IMDb. But
knowing how skim the budget was. Right. Like, that's crazy. No, I mean,
what they put together was pretty bitching, really.
Yeah, we've done some movies on here that are in this time.
And $8 million plus.
Yeah.
And this movie, I felt like it missed the bar, but not by much comparatively.
So, yeah, I mean, and there was special effects. So, I mean, it's like, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, it puts in perspective how, like, you can make a movie for, you know, cheap.
Right.
I guess, I mean, $400,000 is no joke, but still, it's like when you hear about the budgets of other movies and like how shitty some of them are, it's like,
mm-hmm. Totally.
This is obviously a cast of people who are all in, you know, they all worked for, you know, probably decent money, but not like, you know, there was no leading actor that gobbled up a bunch of fucking budget, you know?
No.
So it's obvious that everybody was in, you right. know?
Right. And actually, I enjoyed what you said, basically, I'm saying in a nutshell, there was no actor in that that took me out of the movie.
Yeah.
And usually, you know, in a movie like this, who basically, I mean, they could all be top-notch TV stars back then, right. for all I know, but at least they had acting ability, you know? I mean, so nobody...
Top-notch TV stars.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know? So nobody took me out of the movie. So with that respect, that's why I give it, you know, a little bit more, because, like, yeah, I recognize the shitty budget, I recognize... you know, the bad special effects, but the acting was pretty much there, and it made it kind of a solid performance to where it kept me in the movie. Because if the back acting was bad plus the rest of the shit, oh God, this would have been like a 4 or 5, you know, just, it would have been a rough get through.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the performances definitely do carry this film, and it's not usual. Usually I'm like, I'm fine with shitty performances as long as they got something to watch.
Right.
You know, but this was ass backwards. I mean, the rest of it was pretty bad, but the acting really did actually make you go through the movie.
Yeah, the lead was pretty good. I liked watching.
Right.
I enjoyed watching him. Like his mannerisms.
I totally agree. I didn't mean to cut you off. All of a sudden something popped in my head.
What?
But we were talking about some of the cars and shit. The guy who actually did the cars in this movie with a $400,000 budget was Gene Winfield, and he was the guy who did all the car special effects for Blade Runner.
Oh shit.
So some dude that knew what he was doing, but he only had probably $20,000 to do it with, you know.
They're like, so we're going to give you $20,000 for you.
Right.
And then a bunch of cardboard.
So hopefully people listen
and
to
glue.
This
and crayons
all the way through crayons, because I did bitch about the cars, but yes, the guy who did them has some fucking chops, and unfortunately, obviously, he didn't have the money to work with. So, you know, like I said, we're making it with cardboard. We're going to spray paint it, take the shots back 30 feet, you know, so we don't get some great detail on it, but we can make some stuff. So for $20,000, you know, I give even more credit now that I just read that. So hats off.
6'4".
Gene Winfield.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's an important thing to, like, have an experienced person do, because that scene kind of gets you in, you know,
right.
Mm-hmm. When you see that futuristic car pull up to that diner, even though that whole scene is just kind of like this film in a microcosm, it's just a bunch of like, what the fuck?
Yep, you know, totally.
But, it still drew you in. I was like, dude, I like this. Like, I like where this is going.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it hits the, MUC or the Master of the Universe issue where we go to 1985 and it starts to kind of tank a little bit.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Still, I mean, enough to captivate, enough to keep you rolling through it. So, I really have much more. I mean, honestly, it was a solid movie for what it was, but that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would, you know, because it is streaming on Tubi right now. Mm-hmm. If anybody has that app. And they're still listening this deep in the podcast.
Yeah, totally.
I would recommend watching it because it's only 79 minutes. It's like literally, like it seems like it's just a long episode of Game of Thrones.
Dude, you can get up and watch it before work and shit. So,
yeah.
And still have enough time.
And, I mean, unless if you want to watch a good game of Bumball, you can fast forward through that and save 5 minutes.
All right, so I think we pretty much hit this mark. Thanks, Grant, for recommending this. I will. I honestly say
it's a great poll.
I did enjoy the film.
So. Never heard of it. Like that's. Yeah. I mean, if somebody hadn't brought this up, probably just never would.
I never would have seen this. So hats off. All right. So thanks for listening to the Simstash Rehash. We'll catch you next time. Actually, I think our next movie, Chris will be sitting in with us, and we're gonna do. And it's actually his pick, and we're gonna do Anxiety. So stick around for the next episode. So thanks for listening to Simstash Rehash. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Simstash Rehash. Be sure to give us some awesome iTunes reviews, like us on Facebook. Don't forget to check out past episodes and join us next time on Simstash Rehash.